It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Public school enrollment in Wisconsin has dropped by more than 9% in the last 16 years, according to data from the Department of Public Instruction. Because school revenue is tied to that enrollment, it means less funding for schools. At the same time, a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that school staffing levels are up. The report looks at those numbers and the ripple effects of declining K-12 enrollment, including the difficult budget decisions that school districts face while trying to serve fewer students with less money. Sarah Shaw is Deputy Research Director for Wisconsin Policy Forum. She's one of the researchers behind the report called More K-12 Staff for Fewer Students. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you.
Sarah, at the heart of this in your report, we see a decline over time in the number of students in Wisconsin public schools. What are we seeing?
So we were looking since 2011. And since that school year, the public schools in Wisconsin have lost 9.2% of their students. That is largely contributed to by declining birth rates. And it means a real financial crunch for school districts because as they lose students, they also lose the funding that would come with those students. And this is the experience across the majority of Wisconsin school districts that are really contending with this declining enrollment.
And along with that decline in students, your report also tracked the number of schools, public schools in Wisconsin. That's also gone down. What do we see there?
It is going down, not by quite as much. So if we lost 9.2% of students, we have 3.2% fewer schools. That wasn't surprising to us. It is really difficult for districts to close or consolidate schools. It's very painful for communities, and just the logistics of it are challenging. If you lose students across multiple different classrooms, it's not like you can just shut down a whole classroom all at once. So it made sense to us that we were seeing the decline in schools somewhat lagging the decline in students.
And that takes us to the twist here that you kind of headline your report with, the number of students going down, the number of schools going down a little bit, but more staff. What do we see in staff numbers for our public schools?
So this was surprising. We see 7% more staff in 2026 than we did in 2011. So we started asking district administrators, what's going on here? You're feeling this crunch from having fewer students, needing to downsize the number of schools. How are you increasing staff? And part of what we heard was that student needs are up. Their socio-emotional needs, their academic needs. We have more students who are identified as having disabilities, and their way of contending with that was to hire more staff to try to serve students better. But what that means is that their budgets are now getting hit on both the revenue and the expenditure side. They're getting less revenue because they have fewer students, and their expenditures, their spending is going up because they have more staff on payroll.
I want to dig into a couple parts of that. One, you point out in the report that just because there are fewer students, it doesn't necessarily mean you can have fewer staff. You need the same number of custodians because the building is the same size. It's not like you lose all of your 11th grade students so you could drop the 11th grade teachers. The classes might be smaller. A lot of the staff you need for a school of, 400 kids, you need roughly the same amount of staff for a school of 370 kids, right?
That's right. There are some real fixed costs here on both the staffing side and the facilities side. And actually, when we looked at classroom teachers, their numbers didn't shift that much. There was a fairly small increase in the number of classroom teaching staff from 2011 to 2026. Where we saw the most growth in staff was in paraprofessionals, so those teachers' aides who are in classrooms, and in kind of the anyone else category, which could be anyone from district administrators to other supports for students like counselors or therapists or speech language pathologists. So while it might have been difficult to decrease the number of staff because of those fixed costs, we do also see these increases happening in other categories.
Now, I could see somebody looking at this and saying, okay, it's not more teachers, so it's some kind of administrative bloat. I'm guessing when you talk to school district administrators, they would have pushed back against that idea. Is there any sense that there's too much middle management, I guess, administration in the schools?
You're right that that's not typically what district administrators will be saying. They're often not adding positions onto payroll willy-nilly, but really trying to think about what do students need or what does the district's operations need. That said, I do think that these numbers should mean that district officials and communities are having some tough conversations around where they can afford to increase staff or maintain the staff that they have, or maybe even some support from the state or policymakers in helping districts think about, well, are there alternatives to hiring more people if there is a real need to be serving students better? That is, if not through hiring more staff, then what?
One solution that's been out there is the idea of consolidating, whether that's within a district, we're going to move these two high schools into one high school, or even whole districts merging with each other, or we've even seen in even one case a district closing and its neighbors picking up the staff. That might be more efficient in terms of the numbers of those staff to the numbers of the students, but there are a lot of obstacles and downsides there. Is the idea of consolidation at the tip of people's tongues as you talk about these issues?
You know, I had a colleague once who described the hardest animal to kill is the school mascot. There is just a lot of community identity wrapped up in individual schools. Closing them, consolidating them is very hard emotionally, if nothing else, for a community. But there are also logistical challenges, particularly when we get to our most rural communities, where even if you try consolidation and closures, the sheer fact of physical distance can really be working against you. There is only so long that we are willing to put students on a bus. And if you're talking about shuttling kids 2 hours to be able to get to school, clearly there's some limit to what we say we're kind of willing to accept, or that parents might be willing to accept for their children. Those logistical challenges of distance can also mean it's harder to collaborate and even set up some of these potential sharing arrangements, collaborations, consolidations, closures. So I do think that is still an option that our communities should be considering. But it may not be the right option in any number of cases for any number of reasons.
Well, on the flip side, then, in a more densely populated area, a city or a populated suburb, is something like consolidation more of an option? Since instead of, hey, you're going to go an extra 30 miles to get to school, you're going to go an extra 30 blocks to get to school.
It really could be. And I think it's going to depend a lot on the individual cases. So one of our findings was that so far, what we've been talking about has been all statewide. There are some real differences in these staffing and student patterns if we look by different locales. Locales meaning kind of whether a district is located in a town or a rural area or a suburb or a city. And that starts to matter when we talk about solutions because, for example, our suburban schools, on the whole, are actually not losing enrollment. They're seeing some modest changes in the number of schools, and they've seen a huge increase in the number of staff, about a 19% increase over the time period that we looked at. So for those districts, consolidation because of the number of students might not be an issue, but they're still going to have to contend with what do we do with all of these staff? Can we be affording them year over year?
Sarah Shaw is with us from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, looking at a new report showing a decline in the number of students in Wisconsin public schools, but an increase in the number of staff. Staying with that regional variation you mentioned, and I'm looking at the charts in your report. Yes, suburban districts holding steady, but substantial drops in the number of students in our cities and our rural areas and our smaller towns. Do we need more focus on those kind of schools and how they're going to solve these things at the state, at I guess local levels?
This is a point that I think does merit more state attention, both the fact that we have these statewide trends. This is something that nearly every district is facing in some form or fashion. Either they're facing huge declines in student enrollment and they have to figure out what to do with the rest, and or large increases in the number of staff. I should note that there are other budgetary pressures here as well. It's not just the decline in enrollment that has been a challenge financially for districts in recent years. They've been dealing with lagging state funding and caps on what they're allowed to bring in their core funding. There's been lagging support for students with special needs and for English learners. And so that kind of concoction of financial challenges might be hitting these districts differently depending on where they're located and their specific circumstances, but everyone's dealing with something. So yes, I think we could have more focus here, and within that statewide issue, acknowledged that how different districts are going to solve for this will depend and vary based on where they're located and other unique characteristics of theirs.
Now, I'm looking at a line here. This is pretty amazing. You add up all the public and private school graduates who graduated in 2026. You're talking 72,000 students. The kindergarten class in the same year, the class of 2038, 59,000. 72,000 down to 59,000. This issue we're talking about is not going away anytime soon. It's going to be more and more marked if that trend continues.
It is. At least that's what current projections show. Those numbers, while striking, they don't show the number of kids that we might expect to come into the school system from kindergarten through 12th grade. For example, if you think about students who might start their schooling as homeschooled children, and then when they reach older years, especially if parents or guardians want them to have access to advanced coursework or extracurriculars or sports, they are likely to have more students coming into the public and private schooling systems. So that gap between the kindergarten class and the class of seniors is probably not going to be as large when today's kindergartners are actually seniors, but it is still far more than the drop we've seen in recent years. So as you said, this problem is not going away.
And we'll leave it there. Sarah, thanks again for joining us today.
What a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was Sarah Shaw, Deputy Research Director with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. They're out with a new report this week looking at enrollment declines, staffing levels, and funding for public schools in Wisconsin. Want to know how these things are going in your community? Is there talk of closing school buildings, consolidating schools, or even districts in your part of the state? Share your story and what you think about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.